All right, welcome to another episode of Big Girl's Guide to Love, the podcast. So I'm being joined by my nephew friend, the fabulous Sheridan Monroe.
Hello.
And we're gonna talk. How you doing, Sheridan?
I am good. I'm actually in the middle of, I don't know why I didn't think about this. I'm trying to cut this on vibrate because I don't want to be making noises and it'd be my fault. So I'm like, let me just cut. I'm great. I am off today. So I've been literally just watching TV and playing with my dogs and just enjoying life today. Like, I've taken them on like 4 walks already. So
I'm gonna drop Cindy off over there because she gets let out in the backyard. So
listen, and I'm striving for. I saw this one house that I really want. It's out of my price range, but I do want. I saw this house as a 3-bedroom, and 2-bath, and I'm like, oh my gosh! And the backyard is. I was like, Cyrus, I'm gonna just install one of those little dog doors. So he just walk in and out whenever he wants to. So like, I don't have to worry about, all right, you got to pee. Okay, come on, let's go. Like,
you're manifesting your house right now.
Exactly.
You know
exactly.
What they say, manifestation.
Man, right. what is, I forgot his name, but he's on Instagram. I forgot his name or her name. Sorry. I can't remember her name. I think it's Imani Van. It's supposed to be Iyanla Van Zandt. It's gonna be a Iyanla, but it's a guy who dresses up like as her, but he's Imani. I think he's Imani Van Zandt or something like that. But his whole saying is become, and he like flashes his fan. He collects it. It's so funny. I love it.
I'm gonna have to look at it.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to become. That's what I'm trying to do. Trying to get there.
You're doing a lot though. You've done some shows. You just got through with a show. What was that show?
In the Heights. Oh, that was such a good show. I love that show so much. I literally, I could do that again. That's a show. I told myself that I'm going to go on hiatus from actually doing shows for a minute. I've been actually getting, focusing on writing music now and trying to get in the studio. I'm also been working out more. I have 2 friends that are like, we'll help you. So like my guy friends are like, bro, let's do this. And so they're all trying to get in the gym. They're like, let's do it. I got a membership. I was like, I got a membership too, but that's okay. But they're like, if you ever want a gym buddy, like let's hang out. Like, let's go to the gym. So I'm trying to do that so I can manifest next year.
Yeah.
And you know, the stuff that I want to do and the projects I want to work on. So
You about to be famous. I need to look in my room so I have your autograph. People be laughing when I say I need to get your autograph. It's because I know, like, there's something that I know about people. I know every person I've looked at and said they're gonna be something. They are something. So I already
but you
know.
Can't get my autograph though, because my handwriting is. You gotta get like you gotta get just a good selfie. I'm gonna get a stamp. That's the way my autograph should be, and I'm gonna just stamp it. People gonna be like, oh, he's so fake. I'm not. I can't write.
Everybody's handwriting looks like chicken scratch. I don't even think most kids today will have a signature because they didn't learn cursive. So
that is true. That
my
is
kids
true.
Can't write in cursive.
That is not very really. True. I've been writing in cursive. I stopped writing in cursive. I want to say maybe 7th grade, they just didn't really care about cursive anymore. Everybody started writing in print, and I kept writing in cursive because that's what I knew, and I get in trouble. Like, my teachers were like, no, you have to write in print, and I was like, what? And so I don't know how, but I lost it. I lost my cursive.
My handwriting mixed between print and cursive. Everything's connected.
Yeah, that's me. Like, I'll be at work writing something, and my boss is like, you got to pick one. Which one you want to do today? But you can't do both at the same time.
You got to do me.
Exactly.
I can hardly write anything. I had to fill out some forms at work last year. And I was like, by hand? can you email this to me?
That's it right there. That's me. I'm so used to autofill. Like, I'm so used to just put in S and it accumulates, it populates Sheridan Keaton.
Yeah.
And then my address, my phone number. I'm so used to that. So when I have to do an application in person, it makes me not even want to take the job. I'm like, you know, I don't need it.
Why do they make you do the application and ask all your job history and then ask you for a resume? It's like, which one do you want? Because I'm not going to type this up twice.
Well, what I do is I have previously put in what I'm doing. I mean, I've brought in my resume. And when it says like job history, I say see resume. Now we'll tell you, I haven't gotten those jobs, but you can do it. It might work for you. It didn't work for me, but they were like, did you not want to do that part, fill that part out? And I said, same thing you said. I said, is it necessary? And they were like, you like this job? And I was like, give me the paper. And so I went and did it, and they still didn't hire me. And I was like, why did you make me do this? Like, you could have just said, you know what? You go ahead and go home. I'll be like, all right, bye.
Because I think people know pretty quick if they want to fool with somebody or not. And they, I think looking for a job's like dating. Like, you know who you want when they walk in the door.
Exactly.
You're like, who do I want sitting at this desk? Not you. I can already tell I don't want you sitting. One time years ago, when I was extra poor, I did this job interview that was like a working job interview. So I worked the whole day and they paid me in cash at the end of the day. That's the only reason why I did it. I didn't care about that job. I didn't want that job. I was on the wrong side of town, but I needed $80. Because who does it? So I had taken off work in my other job.
How much were you making at your other job?
I mean, not that much. I said I was poor. So I took off work at my other job. Or was it already my day off? It was one of them. And I went there and I was auditioning or whatever to be a receptionist. But I couldn't do anything because I didn't know their systems. I didn't know what they said. So I was basically just fucking sitting there all day long, staring and like trying not to look at my phone or trying not to, you know, try to look like I'm at work, but I can't really do anything because they're not training me. I'm just sitting there. I would just smile when somebody would come up. So at the end of the day, the guy was like, I don't know if you want this job. You didn't really smile all day. And I was like, well, I smiled when I said hello to people, like when I greeted people, like who just sits there with a smile looking stupid all day? Like, can you imagine?
Right. And you got to you got to like, you gotta make eye contact with them the minute that, gee, you know this. You know you gotta make eye contact with people and just smile like you tour guide Barbie.
I'm like, what would I look like though? Nobody's talking to me. Nobody's talking. I'm just just smiling. I would think something was wrong with her. Wouldn't you think something was wrong with her? Nobody's talking to her. She's not talking to anybody. She just, something's wrong.
When I was a cashier at this place, there was a guy I used to work with, and they nicknamed him Smiley, because all he did all day was, he was one of the people that, like, bagged the stuff up and put it back in your cart, and he would literally just sit there and just, and so everybody was like, and so customers would come up and be like, oh my gosh, he just has such a positive attitude, I like this so much, and I was like, that dude's a serial killer. I don't care what anybody says. He's going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not going to be here that day. I made sure I was like really good friends with him. I was like, because the day he snapped, you're not going to snap on me. You're going to always be always your friend. You're not snapping on me. But yeah, he was named Smiley. And he literally, and then people asked him to do some like stuff that was very inconvenient. They would be like, hey, Smiley, can you go clean the bathroom? He's like, of course. And I'm like,
No.
I'm finna be Smiley friend because we're not even finna. No, uh-uh. Smiley had me messed up. I was like, nah, Smiley.
This is dark, but when I was in high school, have you heard of the Columbine thing? The Columbine shootings? There were these two kids that went in there and were horrible. So I was in high school when that happened. And we had a couple of kids in one of my classes that was a little bit strange. Mm-hmm. Like, they never really did anything. But after that, I swear, everybody on campus was nice. Like, we were just like, like, how you doing? And, like, they didn't want to talk to us. Like, they were friends. They didn't want to talk to us. But, you know, they would do, like, you know, wear trench coats all day long. So that was, like, you know, it's like, I'm not somebody who picks on people, so I'm not a bully or anything like that, but I don't, like, I will only talk trash about you if you come at me. Otherwise, we cool. I don't have it. I was like, don't come for me. So I'm not, like, a bully. I just did not, you know, I only interact with the people that I want to interact with. You know what I mean? Like, if I have mm-hmm. to talk to you, I will, but you can't be friends with everybody. So, but I know everybody, after that incident, everybody looked at them, those two boys who are probably, you know, own Fortune 500 companies right now. But we looked at them, we were just like, hey, Peter, or whatever his name was. Are you having a good day?
You gotta cover your bases.
And one of them, I don't think he liked, sometimes I don't think they like people being nice to them. They were like, I was like, no, we made it worse. Never mind, go on back to what you do.
Listen.
Some people want to be left alone. Let them be. And they're probably
let them be over there. You just stay on over there.
Mm-hmm. Like, if you come over here, I'll be nice. But it's all.
I've been trying to be like that with bugs. Like, I had a spider in my house the other day, and I was like, normally I run or try to kill it, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna be nice because you're not bothering me. So I'm going to you just stay over there. And whatever you want to, like, if you want to set up camp and kill all the rest of the bugs in the house, do your thing, because that's what spiders really are. They're not pests. They're supposed to come in. They just want to be left alone, like, in a corner somewhere. They'll set up shop, and they just want, like, they're here to just catch the food. Like, they're really helpful in the house. Like, I know that. But if I see a bug, no, I don't care what. It's got to go. So I'm like, all right. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna be good. I'm not gonna kill you. I'm just chill. And so I literally was just like chilling, and I saw the bug, and I was like, okay, Sheridan, don't kill this bug. You doing good. And I was like, all right. Cyrus saw me looking. That's my dog, for those of you who don't know. Cyrus saw me looking. He jumped down off the couch where we was watching TV, walked over there and ate him. And I was like,
okay.
I didn't kill him, but he's not in my house anymore. So I'm like.
When I was in eighth grade, I don't know if you know this about me, but I try not to now. I haven't dated anybody in like 5 years. So I'm not, I don't know. I don't know what I am like now because I haven't fooled with people. But when I was younger, for sure, I would kind of absorb the people that I had crushes on. Uh-huh. So their thing became my thing. And so I had a crush on, obviously, somebody who would not even know who I was, MCA from the Beastie Boys, Adam Yauch from the Beastie Boys, who passed away from cancer like a while back. But I had a big crush on him. And so in eighth grade, I decided, as I was trying to figure out my spirituality, because I think everybody goes through that at some point. What am I? Am I Christian? Am I something else? I found out he was Buddhist, right? So I decided I was Buddhist. So I was Buddhist for like a year in my mind. Like, obviously, you know, I would try to meditate, which I'm not good at because my mind doesn't know how to be still. And I didn't eat meat, which my mom hated. She was like, you're not getting enough nutrients. She just wanted dying for me to have a burger. Now she wants to snatch the burger from me. Like, then she wanted me to have the burger. Now she don't want me to have the burger. This one time, you know, Buddhists are not, they don't want to kill people because you could, I mean, kill like animals and bugs and stuff, because you could come back as one of those, you know, and because they are, you know, all their lives are valid and all that good stuff. So but this one day, I was doing real good, but the spider came in my bathroom, right? And it was crawling on the floor. And I thought to myself, how can I deal with this spider, right? So I was like, I can't kill it. I'm going to leave it up to fate. I picked up the rug and I dropped it. And I was like, I don't know if you survived. Now, if I walk on this rug, or if the squishing happened, you know, due to me dropping it. That's not my, I mean, I didn't really outright kill it. It was something that happened. But then that's when I stopped being a Buddhist. I was like, I can't deal with bugs. I'm sorry. I can deal with not eating meat, but I can't do that.
But I would have given up after the meat. I'd be like, you know what? I am my mother's child. I just cooked like 6 pounds of bacon for my breakfast every morning. I'm like, all right. But I'm more of a sausage person than a bacon. So I'm like, come here, buddy. Come here.
He's a bacon person.
He is. He like popped up. Hold on a second. Come, hold on, buddy. He know I'm trying to put him in the camera, so he's like.
He said, no, hey, thank bro. You.
Right. Aww. Look at my buddy.
It's boy. So cute.
Can you say hi? Can you say hi? He wants to go back to that blanket he was chewing on. I'm trying to distract him a little bit because he wants to go to that blanket. But you want to get down? You want me to put you down? Okay, I'll put you down. All right, there
so what
you
do
go.
You
think? That part. I was finna say Chris is over there asleep. No, but I can't do bugs like that. The meat would have been the that's it for me, but the bugs would have been the definite. No, I'm sorry. Like I watch TV shows, and if they have a bug in, if they do a close up on the bug, I'll stop watching the show and I won't watch it. I won't fast forward it to the next part. I just won't watch it. My first Harry Potter movie. My first Harry Potter movie I watched. Thank you. But for, no, you can't play tug of war right now. See this one right here. He's spoiled.
Ready to play.
He's like, play tug of war with me. Okay, one game. He just ran into my blinds.
That across the room?
He just ran into my blinds to go get it. No, but he I was watching the first Harry Potter movie, and he was him. I think it was just him and Ron, Harry and Ron. That was outside, and they were talking to this shadow. That's all I saw, and I was like, okay, the shadow had a deep voice, and I was like, okay,
I know what you're talking about.
And Ron looked up. And he said, Harry, and Harry was like, hush. And that happened like three more times, and finally Harry turned around and said, what? And he pointed up. And when he looked up, all of a sudden, all these huge, gigantic spiders start coming down and just start literally about to land on them. I was trying to be all right with that. I really was, because I was at school, so I can't cut it off. I can close my eyes, but But once I found out that what they were talking to was the biggest spider out of all of them, that was a wrap. That was it. I didn't go to the bathroom. I gotta get out of here. I can't do this. Call my mama. And so I was like, I don't even know what to do with this. Like, what do I do? And so I left and I went to the bathroom. And then when I came back, these fools paused the movie until I got back. Uh-uh. And so I'm thinking the scene is over. So I get back in my seat. And so I see them driving through the forest, and I'm like, how long? Because I've been in the bathroom for a good five to seven minutes. Like, I was up in there. I was trying to wait for that scene to be gone. I came back, and Harry and Ron were in the car driving off, and the spiders were all around the car driving beside them. And I was like, you guys are assholes. Like, why would you do this to me? What did I ever do to you? Like, they were like, well, we just want to be considerate. We're kids. You don't even know what considered means. Like,
turn the movie off.
Right.
That would be considerate.
Shut it off. Shut it all off. Just, we don't need this.
I knew exactly the scene you were talking about. I think that's the first one, right? That's the first Harry Potter, isn't it?
I think that is the first one, but I think that one is Chamber of Secrets. It's either Chamber of Secrets. It is Chamber of Secrets, because that's the one with the big blind snake.
Okay.
And the snake, I remember that scene. My dad had a fear of snakes. He don't like spiders or snakes, but I remember them like in the little tunnel with the blind snake, and they threw something or whatever down another tunnel, and he left him alone because he was finna attack them. And I was like, yo, that's smart, because then the snake went away. But
if people hadn't seen Harry Potter by now, and they happened to,
I was about to say,
that's on them.
I saw this movie when I was in like seventh to eighth grade. So I'm like, if you haven't seen Harry Potter, oops. I don't know what to tell you. I do not know what to tell you.
School is like traumatized.
Listen.
But isn't it, that's like the, it's like a place where like you learn how to get, I don't know, like love yourself eventually or whatever. Like you're really challenged to kind of like love yourself because everybody else don't.
Well, but for me, I found that like after school. When I was so hell-bent on leaving school, I was a bad kid. Like, I'm not going to even lie. My mom was called to the principal's office every day from kindergarten all the way up to fifth grade. Each year, I was sent to another school in Fort Worth because I was just terrible. I went to Southside Christian Academy in first grade, and I was... too bad there. All of the nuns and then was like, we can't do this. Yeah. I don't think we had nuns in our school, but when you hear Christian Academy, it's like, I know they're Catholic, but it's like, you think. And so I don't know, but I know that the teachers were mad. But when I went there, they had, they used paddles. Like when I was at that school, they used paddles and they'll pop you. Like they would ask your parents permission. If he's out of line, do you want us to call you or do you want us to pop him? Of course, my mama's like, if he acting up and he out of bounds, you got permission. And so I got paddled like I want to say probably 5 times a day, and it didn't even faze me. Like at a point, like I was just like, pop, okay, and then I go back to class and just do it again.
What'd you do?
I was, huh?
What'd you do?
That's what I did. That's me getting hit. That's when you get hit. I don't know if you've ever done this, but when somebody ever raised a hand up to you, like when you used to getting hit, like if you used to them hitting you or something like that, when they raise a hand up, you go, because you prepare yourself for it, you know you're finna get hit. That's literally what I was doing. Like they didn't make us like my dad, when he used to whoop me, he used to make me look at the wall and not look back at what's happening, so I never saw it coming. But at the school, they couldn't care any less if you looked. They was like, you can look at this coming if you want to. You still gonna get it. And so I used to look back in like, and so I would like clench my butt together and try to make it all firm. I was like, and then pop. So like it didn't hurt because I was so like tense. Oh. And so like I walk out, I go do it again. And to the point where they had my mama come up there and they were like, do you need this paddle? She said, no, I got something way worse than that paddle. And she pulled off her belt. I was like, it's a wrap. I was like, you should have called my daddy. Like, I can talk my daddy out of a whooping. I can't talk this one out of a whooping because she knows me. She knows my antics. So I was like, that's a wrap. But, yeah, I went there, and then I went to another Christian school in second grade. I think I went there second and third grade. I went there second grade. And then I was too bad for them. They was like, you can't come back. So that's when my mom put me in public school. And I was like, oh my God, I'm not ready. Cause even as a kid, I was like, I know public school, they finna rip me apart and I'm not ready. So I went in there trying to be bad, and all them bad kids like, oh, you want to see bad? I was like, no, I don't want to see bad. I'm just playing. I'm finna go color, do something. So I was there third or fourth grade. And then I went to the school that I graduated in, Fuafa, in, fifth grade, and then I went there 12th grade. But it's like I progressed when I went to Fuafa, because all of the teachers there, they were like, well, some of the teachers, I ain't gonna say all of them, some of the teachers, they were like, we really care, we want him to, you know, to succeed, we want him to do well and hopefully get out of our school real fast, so we're gonna do what we gotta do to get him out. So like I was suspended outside, out of school suspension, in school suspension, lunch detentions, regular detentions in fifth grade. And literally it progressed from there to where I was doing so good senior year. Like I was so good. Like my record was squeaky clean. Everybody was like, Sheridan, are you going to get in any trouble this year? Like I need to get a detention or a lunch detention. I was so good. But then one of my sister's little friends, well, one of the people that was in my sister's grade, it wasn't her friend. She was harassing me. My sister's 8 years younger than me. Like, I'm like, little girl, I'm a grown man. Like, leave me alone. Like, I don't even know you. But because we were in the same study hall together, I had to put up with her. And so I was like, little girl, please leave me alone. Like, I don't know who you are. Like, where did you come from? Mm-hmm. I told the principal. I mean, I told the teachers. I told her mom. I told everybody. Nobody did anything to this little girl. That she kept saying, stop. And that was it. And so she literally just, like, she taunted me. And then I was like, and she, like, we went outside. She picked up one of those huge, you know, them big old math textbooks. That's the hard covers. She tossed it. And it went like this across my face. And before I knew it, I saw red. And I was ready to take her out. And so I started, I didn't, of course, but I chased her around the school. She ran up to a teacher and was like, he's chasing me. He's trying to, like, I don't know. She didn't say kill me, but she said something that was close to that. To where the teacher, like, literally, I was like, nah, you go listen to what I'm saying. She's like, no, I don't need to listen to you. Go to the office. I know you did it. I've heard, and she was a new teacher that was new that year. But yeah. She was just like, I know your reputation. I know what you, and I was like,
what?
What are you talking about? And so I went to the principal, and he was like, luckily my grandma was coming up there for something for my sister. And so she was like, my grandma was like, as I was leaving the office, my grandma was coming into the office to drop something off to my sister. And so she saw me. She's like, what are you doing? I'm crying to her. And I'm like, this little girl literally was taunting me. And I pointed at the little girl too. I was like, this little girl was taunting me. And no, I'm sorry. I was crying on my way to the principal's office. And I saw my grandma. And I told her, I said, that little girl right there, she was taunting me. And I said, now I'm in trouble. I said, she messed up my record. Like, I was doing so good. And so I go into the principal's office. While I'm doing that, my grandma getting the behind the scoop. She goes over to the little girl and sits down beside her. And she's just talking to her all calmly. She's asking the girl how old she is. The little girl says she's 12. I'm 17. So I'm like, still, you know, I'm still grown. Like, you can't, you know, stop messing with me. And so they were like, we're going to call his mom. But my grandma's outside. So she walked in for me. And it was a whole to do. Like, it was a whole to do. Like, the principal was trying to make it sound like I was like out to kill the little girl. Like, I'm this wild, savage, vicious animal that needs to be put down. Like, he was going out of his way. He is an almost 18-year-old man who was running around. He's in his anger, get the best of him. He's turning red. I said, first of all, I'm black. I ain't never turned red. Like, don't go there. I ain't never turned red in my life. I wear red, but I do not turn red. But he literally was like, he'll turn red if anybody was to do that to his sister. But he gets upset. He gets angry. He chased her around the school like he's a savage animal to this little 9-year-old. My grandma's like, I'm going to stop you right there. Number one, she is not 9. She is 12. She just told me that out there. She was like, she's the one that skipped a few grades. I was like, y'all should probably be telling her not to be messing. You know, my grandma let that principal have it. I was like, and he was like, well, he's suspended for a whole week for this. And I'm sitting there crying. I'm like, I've been so good. Why would you suspend me for 5 days? Like, I didn't even get suspended for 5 days junior year. Like, what the hell? And so I was mad. But
I'm like, is suspension really even a punishment? Because I don't want to be in school.
I was going to say, normally it is a punishment for me because normally my mom, you know, not my mom, normally other moms, you know, they'll be like, we're going to take away your toys. We're going to take away your games. No TV. And they're like that. My mom was like, I'm going to have you write sentences. So I had to write sentences like Bart Simpson on the wall at the, you know, thing. I'm having to write sentences. And, you know, I found ways to make it fun. I would write like, I will. And then I will not. I will. I would do it like that. So it feels like I'm just doing like this across the page until my mom found out. And she was like, no, that is not how you're doing it. You're writing the whole sentence out like this. You don't get to have fun and make your own way with it. And I'm like, I'm doing what you asked me to do. Like, why can't I do it? But it was, I mean, it is what it is. But that day, because when my mom walked up there, my grandma was like, we're not doing this. Once he told him I was suspended for five days, my grandma was like, I'm gonna let his mama come up here and deal with you. And so, you know what? After that was said, it's a wrap. You got to stop squeaking the toy right in my face, buddy. You're like right in my face, man.
He said, throw it.
Right. We're playing right now. I can't throw that one. He won't let me throw it. He will literally, like, I mean, he doesn't bring it back. He'll bring it, and then when I try to grab it, I'm like, you still learning how to play fetch. Okay, you're one. You're okay. I don't really play fetch him a lot. Like, I toss it and he'll play with it. So you gotta go over there, buddy. Go over there.
My dog don't play. She'll go fetch a treat. She ain't gonna bring it back. She don't play toys. She's never gonna play.
No, stay over there, buddy. Take your donut. I feel like a parent for real. Like, I'm like, this one right here. Prissy over there, the Yorkie, she's just like, I'm chilling. Like, I'm asleep. Because I was like, when we get up, we probably gonna go outside again when we're done. So, you know, but this one right here, he's one. He's spoiled. He's a baby. So he gets a pass for acting like this. Yeah. Anytime that I'm like, anytime that my undivided attention is on something else and not him, he'll be like, you had me for a reason. And he'll like scoot up and like rub on me. And I'm like, buddy, you're shedding all over my clothes. He's like, I don't care. And he'll just lay, like, he'll literally just do like this, just lay right on top of me. And I'm like, but anyway, he's so okay. I literally went, my mom woke me up the next morning and was like, put your uniform on. I said, what? She was like, put your uniform on now. I was like, my mom's suspended. I can't just go to school. She's like, you're not suspended. And so, you're not suspended. I said,
that sounds just like your mama.
Right. But the thing is, you know, I'm more scared of her than anybody at that school. So I put my uniform on. I was like, y'all, because the people at school thought they knew what they can do to hurt me. She knew what she can do to hurt me. So I was like, nah, I'm not even going to fool with that one. All right. I put that uniform on. I got all, you know, nice and, you know, ready. Like, I'm about to be put on, you know, on trial. I walked into the school and my mom was like, we were sitting there. He was telling my mom the story. He pulled that same mess with that he did with my grandma. You have an angry son that is out of control and he needs to be stuck. And my mom was like, so let's just forget the fact that I have this angry son that needs to be, you know, put in check. She's like, we're not going to talk about the little girl that threw a gigantic boulder at him. Also a math textbook. The rock hit me. The rock hit me. And I was really like, she threw the rock because she threw the math book and missed me. So she was running. You know how when you're running from people and it's a crowd of people and the person who's running in the front, they're the ones that's getting slowed down because they're having to push through people in order to get past. Uh-huh. The person that's chasing them has the advantage because they're having to slow down to get people to push people out of the way. And people are still out of the way when they're coming through. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you're opening up a barricade for me to go through. Once she realized that was happening, she picked up this rock that was like this big and chunked it at me and hit my chest. I saw red then. I was like, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. This little girl gotta go. I will say this, cause I'm grown. I don't even care anymore. The little girl grown. She tried to add me on Facebook and I was like, little girl, you don't know me, stop it. But I will say that had that teacher not stopped me, I don't know what I would have done because I was upset at that point. My principal got that part right. I was upset. I was very upset. I was fuming, but I was fuming because I just had a gigantic mountain thrown at me.
Right.
Yeah, I'm mad. I'm mad. I got a textbook thrown right here. Yeah, I'm mad.
Yeah.
And
so you gonna hit me after you make me run? What's wrong with you?
That part. But then after that, it didn't even matter that I was tired because I was like, now I have tunnel vision. Mm-hmm. I will destroy you if it's the last thing I do. Like, I have tunnel vision. I have to take care of you. No, but it's funny because when I told my sister what was going on, she went off on a little girl at lunchtime. Like, one of my friends that went into the cafeteria to get like some apple juice or something like that was like, is so-and-so your sister? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, yeah, she up in there letting some little girl that got you in trouble, she letting her have the business. Oh, that's why I didn't finish saying my mom was a bull. Like, after he started saying all this stuff about me, my mom asked me to leave the room. She said, Sharon, go outside and wait for me right out there on that little chair over there. I said, you sure? She's like, get out. You ain't got to tell me three times. And so she already told me twice. I'm like, you ain't got to say it three times. I'm finna get up. And so I went outside. I heard nothing going on in there. All of a sudden, my mom comes out of the office, out of the principal's office. She says, let's go. I said, so I'm still suspended. She said, you're suspended for one day. And you're going to be good the rest of the days. I said, okay. She's like, so let's go ahead and go home. And so we start walking out. I look back. My principal just, like, he's mad. Like, he's trying to find something to just take his anger out on. And I was like, you're going out of your way to do all this. And now today when he sees me on the street, he act like we best friends. I'm like, I didn't like you seeing you. And then when we were walking across the stage, he tried to hug me for a long time. Told me, you did it without any help from you, sir. Get away from me. Get all the way away from me. Like, go down the street and around the corner. Like, get away from me. But yeah, I had a rough time in school, actually. Like, I want to say, yeah, that's what you are supposed to learn, but and love yourself and stuff. But yeah, I learned that folks are brutal, especially I had some classmates or folks that graduated with me that at a point I did my own dirt and I did stuff at the school. You like squeaking really loud. He can't help himself. He trying to get my attention. Okay, there you go. Good boy. Sit up there, buddy. Yep. There you go. You can play up there. This little boy right here. No, but I've had my fair struggle of, you know, of school, of different people in my class and stuff like that. There are some people I still talk to. There are some people that if I see them on the street, I will hug them and talk to them again. There are some people that if I saw them on the street or Walmart, I might pick up a can of greens and bust them over the head with it. You know, like
my greens.
The greens, girl. No, but like, I you never know. And so it's one of those things that I literally, I've learned so much being at this school, and I just, I don't even, there are no words. Like, I can't even, I don't know. I've learned lessons. I'll say that. Like, yeah. I can't even go any further. I've learned lessons.
The big girl rule you chose was to.
I think it was love yourself. Yeah.
Number one. So you picked big girl number rule number one, love yourself. So the title of your episode is The Big Guy's Girl to Loving You. And at what point, like, are you at a point where you feel like you love yourself? Because that's a hard thing to do. It's like one of the hardest things in the world.
You want me to tell you? I will say yes. He wants his ball that I have placed up here, and he's trying to go in anywhere. Buddy, you got to go over there with it. Go over there. This dude right here. Yes, I am. I will say that. I do love myself. And I think it was happening. He's back. Can you hear him squeaking over the thing?
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
It's so loud. It's because you're a pet parent. You've been doing this for a while. Like, any little thing. Uh-oh. He threw the ball and hit Prissy. He know he in trouble now. Prissy's the queen. She's gonna get him. Ain't nothing I can do. It's out of my hands now. When little baby wake up, it's a wrap.
Oh
yeah, she's up. She walking around. She laid down. Okay, she laid back down. She trying to chill. She like, I really want to go to bed. No, but honestly, I have, and I think it started during COVID, actually, because I had time to, like, be in my house. A lot of people don't know this about me. I tell people the story all the time, and they're like, you're doing this for attention. You just want clout. I don't have to have clout. First of all, when I walk into a room, clout. Like, I don't have to tell a story to get clout. When I walk in a room, when they see how I'm walking in, like, that's that all room. I got. Attention is on me.
Yeah. Huh? That's like you own you the said, room. Well, you
right, that room. Part. But I literally...
Cyrus says, I own this room.
Oh, my God. No, I'm going to give him a treat when we get done, because that's what he wants. He just wants a snack. he's like, he wants a snack, and then he's going to go take a nap. I literally when I grew up, when I was 5 years old, I'm back on track now. I got ADD like it is no tomorrow. When I was 5 years old, I was told by the doctors that I was autistic, and they were like, he's not gonna be able to read, write, comprehend anything, have a place to live on his own, drive, be independent, anything. That part, right? And so my mom was like, to hell with what you say. We believe in the Lord. We're going to pray. And we're going to, so I had my prayer warriors, you know, that was watching over me, that was like, you know, we're going to make sure that he gets to where he needs to get. Mm-hmm. And so when I first got my apartment, I was like, yes, independence, I'm free. And then I got my my car, that not my Mustang, but I got my Mitsubishi. But I appreciated the Mitsubishi more because I actually had to pay for it. Mm-hmm. My mom paid for my Mustang. And so, like, anything happened to the car, anything like it needed oil change, I didn't care. Like, it is what it is. But I had my Mitsubishi by then, and I was very happy that I had, you know, that car. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm doing good for myself. So I have a house and a car, mm-hmm. and I just got a job. I'm feeling good. But I was lazy still, so I didn't want to actually work. And so I was like, I was looking for any reason to either get fired, quit, to not come to work. It was bad. And so I literally would, just like not, you know, go to work. And so, okay, buddy, give it here though, so I can throw it. So I went to, I literally was trying my best to like not work, whatever. And so, the last job I was working in before COVID hit, I was literally there, like, 40 hours a week. And mm-hmm. so I was ready to not work. I was like, I don't want to do this. I told my mom a long time ago, I said, listen, I said, here's the deal. I said, I'm going to start an OnlyFans. She was like, what? I said, I'm starting an OnlyFans. I can't. I said, I cannot. I was like, he found the ball. I threw it and it landed inside my Kleenex box. And now he's trying to figure out a way to get in there to get it. He's going to tear my Kleenex up. He's going to tear it up. He dropped it on the floor. It's going down. I'm going to look up. It's going to be snow in my house. I just vacuumed too. I'm going to be so mad. But it's all right. He's one. He can't help himself. But I literally, Sai, come in. Hold on a second. Come get this one. Come play with this. Play with the donut, buddy. He said, no, I want that ball that's in that Kleenex box. I want that toy. But yeah, so like I literally, everything that the doctor was saying that I wasn't going to do, I was doing. I graduated, car, job, house, whatever. So, oh, now I know where I was. Sorry, I told you, give me ADD. I moved past that. I was at the COVID. Yes. They shut down like a lot of stuff. And because we were essential, we still had to work, but they cut all of us down to like, I want to say 15 hours a week. Mm-hmm. And so my paycheck that was helping me cover my, you know, house or whatever, I was like, you know, oh my God, what am I going to do? Then one of my friends is like, they have, you know, the pay that helps you because you're not, it's not unemployment, but it's like
the COVID relief type stuff.
Right? Yes, thank you. Yeah. So I was doing that and I literally was, he's tearing it up. I can't even, ain't nothing I can do. I literally was on that and I was making, you know, more than what I was making at Staples.
Yeah.
Just being at the house. So I was like, so I get to be at the house and not work and make more money as if I was working.
Right.
All right, deal. I told them, they were like, do you want your hours to be cut down even more? I was like, yes. And so I'm putting it out there. And so I was like, yes, you can take my hours down to like 5 hours. I can come in one day. I'm cool with that. And so he did just that. And so I was at the house. I was catching up on all the shows that I always wanted to watch. I was like, oh yeah, he took it under the, hold on one second. I'm so sorry. I got to grab it because he took it under the couch and I know he's been obliterated. Hold on one second. Mm-hmm. Come here, buddy. Let me see. Let me help you.
You're not gone across the room.
There you go. Good boy. All
right.
Okay. Yeah, it looked like something out of a horror movie. It looked like something out of, he dropped it on the floor. He ran around the couch and then he went under my couch and literally grabbed the tip of the box and just started dragging it slowly under. And I'm like, it's like when you're getting pulled under your bed and it's like, you just slowly going, like, that's what that box is doing. And I was like, let me go and grab this box before he devours my tissues that I just put out today. Like, allergies. I was at the house chilling. I watched all the shows that I always wanted to watch. And I was like, you know, I'm happy. I'm like, this is it right here. This is the life. Like, I'm making money and I'm at the house. Like, it can't get any better than this. But it was like, I was here by myself. And so that was what was making it like slowly start to like feel like, oh my gosh, like this is not fun anymore, because I was here by myself, didn't have nobody to talk to. I was watching reruns of all the stuff I was watching. I fell into like a deep depression where like I was literally just like in bed. Like I lay in bed all day and I would like, I was sleep. I got the best sleep of my life, but like, I was in bed. I was knocked out. And I wake up, I go in the kitchen, drink some water, go back in my room, lay back down. Like, I was like, there's nothing to do. I don't know. And like all my friends, they were, you know, they were essential workers. So they're working. Yeah. I'm not. Like, I'm at the house. And so my sleep schedule was off. Like, it was terrible. And so they started trying to open back up theater and stuff like that. And so that's when they first did when I had my first audition for In the Heights. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't even know, like, I got to do this. And so I was like, yep, let's do it. And so I went to the audition and I got the role. But I want to say the day I found out I got the role, that's when I found out that they officially cut off the assistants. So I was literally having to depend on my 5 hours to make rent, to pay for this new car that I just got. It was a lot. Yeah. And so I literally was all depressed and stuff like that because, hold on, I'm trying to grab this ball. He's back here behind me playing. He does the most outlandish stuff right now. Like, he wants my undivided attention. He's like,
we're going to wrap it up soon.
We are gonna wrap it up, buddy. Hold on. But yeah, I literally was just, I like fell into a deep depression. I was telling my mom, she would call me, what are you doing? I'm like, nothing, just in bed. She's like, did you do anything today? I said, what is there to do? I was like, we're quarantined, number one. I said, number two, I was like, I don't have any money to do anything. Like, I can't even, I said, I don't have any money. Like, I have ramen noodles and I have stuff like that in my kitchen to actually eat. I had like some foods that I could cook, but I was like, I can't, like, there's what am I supposed to do, like, for fun? And so I was joking with her. Well, I wasn't joking, I was serious. I was like, I want a dog. And she was like, where are you gonna get a dog from? I don't know, but I want a dog. And so she's like, Sherry, you can barely take care of yourself, you want a dog? I was like, I will figure it out. I was like, I know that my dog will eat before I eat, but I want a dog. And so for Christmas, she got me a dog. And that's when little baby Cyrus got over. He's not baby anymore, but he, you know, I had him and I was like, you know, cool or whatever. And so I was in a better spot because I had a companion. And so it was like me and him. And then, my dad had passed away in March. And so I literally, my childhood dog, Prissy, mm-hmm. that I had since I was in seventh grade, she went to live with my dad and my stepmom. And when he passed away, I was like, you cannot live with my stepmom. My stepmom is like Lady Tremaine, Maleficent, Evil Queen, Cruella de Vil, put all them ones together. That's who she is. And I don't even care if she knows it, because
she's a stepmom. Okay.
She's, oh my God, yes. And so she was playing the nice version, but she's, I don't even want to get into it, but I was like, she's going to kill another Prissy. Day. I can't. That's another day. I was like, she's going to kill Prissy. She never liked Prissy. I was like, I can't. So I was telling my mom, I was like, I told her, I was like, hey, I'm not even going to divulge her name, but I was like, hey, because the funeral was that next Saturday. And I was like, keep Prissy to the next Saturday. Don't do anything with her. She will come home with me. So we drove to Mississippi. My mom was like, nah, F that. So she got in one of her, you know, her mom groups, and she found out that one of the moms that's from Arlington was actually in Vegas, mm-hmm. where they were. And so she, they met up, the lady got prissy, took her down, brought her down here to us. So it was a cheaper flight versus me going up there to grab her and then getting back on the plane and trying to come back. Like, it yeah. was, you know, a lot happening or whatever. But we literally, I want to say when she got back in the house and they got acclimated. And then I was like, all right, so I have happiness. I have a house. I have mm-hmm. a job. I have a car. I got dogs. I'm doing good for myself. Yeah. And so I literally, that's when it started was when I got my two babies, you know, with me. And I was like, I want to be able to place a camera up because anytime I move or touch my phone or whatever they're doing, that's a loving moment. It goes away. But I want to like install, like how they do reality shows, like install a camera so you can see because it is so adorable. Like Cyrus, he has a time. He'll wake me up at like 5:50 and he'll like come up. He'll do that. And he'll do like three times. And if I don't respond, he'll headbutt me. And then if he headbutt me, if I don't wake up, he'll start licking my face. You know, I don't like my face being licked. So he'll like lick my face. He knows it'll get me up. And then he'll be like, bro, I gotta pee. He'll stand next to the cage. He's like, bro, like, let me out. And so I'll move the, cause I like literally have a cage that I have set in between. Cause I don't have a door from my living room to my bedroom. So I have to wedge his cage in the way so he can't like go into the kitchen at nighttime when I'm asleep. Because yeah. he did that way. Only happened one time. I came in there and he was up on top of my bar and I was like, all right, buddy, here's the deal. How did you do it? And I watched him do it one time. He jumps up on the chair, jumps up on my couch, jumps up on the back of my couch, jumps up on top of the bar stool, and then he climbs up on top of my bar. So whatever I have up there, that's how he got. Yeah, mm-hmm. he found his way up there. Yeah. And so he too big to get up there that way. Now he know he gonna come tumbling down. So he'll just stand up like this, wait to see up on the bar. He'll go like that and try to eat whatever it is. I'm like, dude, just wait till I hand it to you. But it started there. In high school, I was like trying to be somebody I wasn't because I was like all of these dancers, all of these singers. Like I didn't mesh into any group. Yeah. Like, I wasn't with the dancers. I wasn't with the thespians. I wasn't with the choir. I was just there. I call myself a hybrid. Like I was just like, I'm all of you, but I'm just not you. And so I was happy to graduate. I regretted, you know, missing some moments with, you know, certain folks. Like I ran into one of my classmates. I was singing at this ballet concert. I was the opening act and I was singing and he was one of the dancers and he came up. He was like, oh my gosh, Sharon, it's the first time I've seen him since we graduated. I want to say 5 years later. Yeah. But he was like, oh my gosh, like Sharon, oh my gosh, how are you? And I was like, I'm good. But I was like half ass talking to him. Can I say ass?
Say what you want to say.
Okay. I said it twice, but I got to make sure. But I literally, I had to ask him. I was like, why are you talking to me? Like, we didn't talk. Right. He was like, we didn't talk because you didn't want us to talk. I said, wait, what? He was like, yeah, I was cool with you. I never problem with you. You had this attitude that you were uppity. You didn't want to talk to anybody. So like half of our class is like, all right, fine then. You want to talk? We ain't going to talk to you. And so I realized, oh my God, that is the truth. And I sort of still do that to this day. Like if I feel like you don't like me or something, I will literally, try to get the upper hand and not like you first or not talk to you first. I'm weird. But yeah, so it literally, my happiness came after high school and I re-auditioned for another version in high school and I got the same part that I got cast in back then I wasn't able to accept. So it's like, it all turned around. It all worked out in my favor because I didn't get to play it there, but I got to play it here. And it was a much bigger audience and a much bigger turnout, though, I think. But it's like, it was a part that I've normally seen skinny guys and guys who are athletic play. So the fact, no, stop it. I'll come in 1 second, buddy. He's like, hurry up. I literally was so I was so ecstatic to play that part. Like I was on cloud nine, y'all couldn't tell me nothing. And it's just life after that. I got a good job now. I got a good job and I'm making in one check, I'm able to take care of all my bills so that I'm able to save with the other check or do whatever I want to do. I took on another job that's working weekends. That's going to be my savings. Like I'm never going to touch that money. The money that I make from that is literally just for savings, the Christmas job.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's, excuse me, that's a good saving job right there. But yeah, I had to learn to love myself because, it's so weird because the things that I went through and feeling like, oh my God, I'm alone. Nobody likes me. Like I hear my mom, I used to think my mom was an enemy all the time. Like growing up, I'd talk about her on Facebook. I would talk about her to everybody in our theater realm. I'm like, oh my God, my mom is this, my mom is that. And it's so funny because God was like, that's how you feel. All right, I'm gonna show you. And so I literally, all those people that I confided in or said something to, I don't talk to these people to that day. But me and my mom's relationship is like this, just because I realized she's not the enemy. She's actually trying to help me. And so that was one part of loving myself. I had to get rid of all the toxic friends. Sorry, he's under me moving around. So that's why my camera is shaking. I keep looking at you and then I get distracted. I look over here, I'm like, what am I doing? But it's the top of this thing that's doing that. But yeah, I had to get rid of all the toxic friends. It's a thing. You have to get rid of those people. And there are some, just because I'm nosy myself, I keep them here. I'm over here, my land over here, and I just keep them right at the edge of the land where it's like they feel like they are, you know, over there. And I just tell them, I'm like, hey, listen, you know, I want to be nosy and I just want to, you know, see, you know, what you got going on. But I want you to stay over there. But I've just learned to be happy. Like I've learned to be happy. I'm much more pleasant. You know, I got a really good job. I got this apartment. Hopefully I'll be moving, you know, anytime soon. I get some good checks. And Cyrus Prissy, I just, you know, I've had to learn to love myself and love myself no matter what, because if you ain't gonna do it, mm-hmm. who gonna do it?
That's what RuPaul says. If you don't love yourself, how the hell are you gonna love somebody else?
Exactly.
So yeah, you have to love yourself. That's so good. Mm-hmm. So your support system and all your different experiences mm-hmm. have kind of led to this culmination of I'm shared and this is me. And first you got to accept yourself and then
exactly
learn to love that person that you've gone ahead and accepted. That's so good. And you making all this music. Go ahead.
Listen. No, I was going to say, and the thing about it is that when I was a kid, I've always known who I was. And the way I act, the way I am, and just my being, I already knew who I was, but the world wasn't ready to know who I was.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, I'm a very eccentric dresser. Like, I was at my cousin's, he's biting me right now. Tear me up. He's like biting my leg and biting my hand. He was like,
he said he gonna get up. A snack one way or the
other. He's like, Daddy, I always knew you was a snack. I just knew who I was. And like when I was at my cousin's birthday party yesterday, I had my hair all to the side. I got a piece of a rhinestone necklace that was broken. And I got some of the glue that y'all put y'all's eyelashes on with. And I literally made like a trail like this around the side of my head. I had that on. I had my rhinestone tie on. I went to Joann's and I got little trim and I on my little vest. And so I put rhinestones. It was like one of those halter vests.
Yeah.
And so I put the rhinestones going up it. And then I had some sparkly buttons that I replaced with other buttons or whatever. So the trim of it was rhinestone. Like it was just, that was me. And like I said, I walked into the party. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, oh my God, Sheridan, yes. Like, it's like teenage Sheridan. And like that would have totally gotten torn down. Like, oh my God, I can't believe you're wearing that. Men don't wear this stuff. I'm not like other men. I wear what I want to wear. I don't care. Like, I tell people all the time, I don't care. Like, I wear what I want to wear. My style is very androgynous sometimes. Like, I can come on, like, for work. My suit just arrived today. I bought a forest green suit. I have a lime green shirt. And then I have a tie with, like, all different green color stripes going down it. I dress up for work. Like, you know, it is what it is. My boss loves my fashion. Like, she loves it. She loves my style. But it's one of those things that I do that when I'm out, like hanging out. I wear my long flowy cape. Like, I just do what I want to do. Like, I don't care, you know? So when people learn to do that and actually love themselves, like, it's an amazing thing. Like, I always knew who I was. That's why I tell people all the time, they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, you're just so comfortable with yourself. No, I've always been comfortable with myself.
Right.
I knew who I was. I've always been me. Y'all just found out. So I'm gonna give y'all time to figure it out and, you know, have your moment because you need it. But I've always known who I was. I've always been this way. Everybody will tell you growing up, oh yeah, that's Sheridan right there. That's what he do. Like, it's just who I am.
Yeah.
But I say I love myself. I've always loved myself, but I didn't love myself. Like, I love myself as a whole, but there was pieces of myself that I didn't love. And I'm getting to the point now where I'm loving everything about myself. But I tell people all the time, I'll pull them off so you can see them. I don't know if people know this, but these are contacts. I'm not going to move them around, but I used to wear like gray, and people were like, oh yeah, we definitely know those contacts. But my eyes are black. Like, they are like black. And I was like, oh my God, like, I hate my eyes. I like my eyes now, but I like my contacts. So I love myself, but right. I love these. So I'm not going
to. You do you.
Yeah, I'm doing me right now. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for that. Like, just.
I just feel inspired right now. I was like, I don't know. It's going to inspire me. One day I'm going to come out with some rhymes.
Listen. Oh, and then my music,
very,
too.
I'm very muted. But I said, you know, I'm very muted a lot of times.
Listen, like, your mom, you come out of your shell, like, though. You come out of your shell, though. I still remember the first time I ever met you, or I can remember meeting you. I probably met you before this, but I don't remember it. I feel so sorry to admit that, but it is what it is.
When I got a lot of memories, baby. It's okay.
It's not God's trombones. Book of Job.
Book of Job, yeah.
When you did Book of Job, I thought that was the first time I met you. And I remember when y'all were doing that song, that come on and tell me, when y'all doing that song is like the, as the gossiping choir ladies or whatever.
Yes, that was woman and number four.
Listen, you were the best woman number four ever. I was like, come on. But it's like, I watched you as a kid. It was like you were shy. But then when it got time for the dancing and y'all start doing like this skip step around, like around Job or whatever, I still remember that. I was like, I like her. I don't even know who she is or where she came from, but I like her. And who would even thought?
You
turned out to be my mom's assistant and be my aunt and just do everything now. So I'm like, yes, I remember that. Like, I still remember that to this day. Like, I'm like, she was on this stage killing it. I wouldn't watch none of these other people.
Well, thank you. I don't even know what I did. I was in such a daze. I didn't want your mama to beat me up if I didn't act right. No.
No, listen. She is very Ike Turner and Joe Jackson put together. She'll take you outside of the booth and get back in there. And if you bet not cry, I'm like.
She's tough, but she sees when she sees something in you that you obviously don't see. She said, you gonna see it today. You can go home and not see it again. But right here in this moment, you gonna see it. You gonna see it.
Yeah.
And you gonna show it.
She's now to the point where she's willing to show you.
Yeah.
If you're willing to learn.
Right.
Like, it's one of the things, like, over the years, I think she's learned that there are some people that just don't want to learn. And so what she does is, she will go out of her way to teach you. And if she feels like you're actually trying to learn it, she's like, all right, cool. I will keep working with you because you're actually trying to, you know, do this. But if you look like you are not trying to, like, learn with your craft or, like, elevate or become,
yeah.
Become. She's like, all right, I'm not gonna keep doing this if you're not gonna, you know, try to help yourself out. So that makes me happy that she's not so hell bent on trying to help somebody who doesn't want help. She tries to help you. Yeah, she tries to help you. And if you don't want to receive her help, she's gonna go over to somebody else that's gonna, you know, to do it. That's what I was saying. Like for me, with my music, my mom actually was helping me with that because I kept it. Like I wrote it and it was literally I literally wrote all the music. I didn't have any beats to it. I wrote all the music and I just I wrote like one song and I left it. I didn't do anything with it. And then one of my friends was like, hey, I have beats. You know, I'm trying to get rid of beats. You know, who wants them? Sell them $10 a pop. I'm like, shoot, $10, I'm finna go get them. And I bought like, I asked my mom for $100. I was like, can I please have $100? I'm about to get 10 beats. She's mm-hmm. like, yeah. I got all the 10 beats and I started listening to them, whatever. And I was like, I want that one. I'm gonna pull from that one. I did that. And I start writing. I played it for my sister. She was like, me and my sister, we go back and forth with arguing and, you know, throwing shade at each other. But she was like, hey, listen, like, you know, this sounds really, really good. Who wrote this? I said, I did. She was like, no, you didn't. I said, I did. She was like, yo, this is really, really good. Has mama heard it? I said, no, not yet. So you need to play these for her. I think it was relationship advice I played for her first. So my mom, she came home. My sister grabbed me, told me to come in here, play the song for my mom. So I performed it for her. She was like, did you write this? And I was like, yeah. She's like, Sherry, you ain't never been in a relationship before. How you know all this stuff? I was like, I've watched other people. Yeah. I've watched other people and what they do and like the stuff that they do in relationships or whatever. I see, I've had friends that came up to me. Oh my gosh, Sherry, like, I really like this guy, but he's acting like this. Oh my gosh, Sherry, this girl is so pretty, but she just keeps doing this. And I'm like, y'all need to talk to each other. Stop talking to me.
Right.
Talk to each other. Like, what are you doing? But, you know, it's one of those things that I just kept going. And she got the recording studio time for me. She was like, all right, Sherry, let's go in here and kill it. I played the rest of the songs for her. She will make you, she will listen to all the songs and make sure that you were studio ready before she paid for studio time or before right. she wastes her time going to the studio, whether she's paying for it or not. So that's just what she did. She was like, all right, Sharon, let me see if you are ready. And we went in, I sang all six songs to her. And when I got to You Love Me, that's the one with all the high stuff, my voice is tired. And so we started, I got to the end, my voice started cutting out. And she was like, you ain't ready. I said, Mom, I'm ready. I swear I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's do this. She's like, no, you're not. You're cracking on it. I said, Mama, that song is so tough. Like, I have to let that be the first song that I take on in the studio. So I have all my energy and all my power to sing that. Right. I said, everything else is good, but that's the song with the highest stuff in it. I can't, you know, I can't sing six songs full energy in the studio trying to make sure it's perfect and then try to take on that song. Like, I can't. And so, yeah, we made sure it was right. I let my music out and stuff like that and released it. And so we're in the middle of trying to, that's the other thing about me having a good job. I'm getting to say, hopefully, prayerfully, we will start shooting music videos next year.
Okay. So what's the name of your EP?
It is called Unapologetically Me. Actually, I went on Etsy and I made me some stuff, whatever. This, oh, my thing's in the way. It's Unapologetically Me. Is it backwards on your screen?
No.
Okay.
I can read it. It's regular. Unapologetically Me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's on all social media, music streaming platform services. We also have a few shirts that we have. If you want to walk around with me on your, this is what the album cover actually looks like. So if you're looking for the album cover and you put in Sherry Monroe or Unapologetically Me, you'll see this gorgeousness right here. And then this is what the back of all the shirts look like.
All right, send me all your links. I'm gonna post all your links.
I will definitely do that. The shirt I'm wearing is another one. It's a lot of tank tops that I bought because it was summer when I did it. And so I'm in the middle of making me some winter wear. So I can actually put that stuff out too. So like hoodies. I thought about doing, I have some coffee mugs there. so I have the tumblers made with my stuff on there, some t-shirts. bumper stickers. So I have like a lot of different
Christmas and Hanukkah is your stuff.
I feel like people think I'm so conceited. I feel like people think I'm so conceited. They'll be like, Shannon, did you just gift us with your stuff?
Yes.
I did that with Mom and Nikki. I was like, hey, listen, where my tank top? Where my shirt?
Mm-hmm. My presence is your present. Here you go. You can have me all year long.
That part.
I'm so glad I got to talk to you. I'm so glad that you've gotten to a point where you are loving yourself, because I love you. You're so amazing.
I love you.
You're so great.
I am busy. You said busy or crazy?
I said amazing.
But busy, that's hilarious. Yes. You didn't say nothing what I thought you said.
But I'm going to put all your links on there. And at the end of this episode, I'm going to put one of your songs, because I'm going to add it. It's only going to play like about 30 seconds of it. So that's what it allows. But I'm going to play about 30. What song do you want me to put down there? Because I will
Rockstar Status.
Okay. Because I was.
Well, what song did you say?
Touch it. It's a touch my body. That's
no.
When I was practicing just to hear myself, you know, see how it sounded when I recorded myself, I was playing it. I share my screen with myself so I could hear it, so I could play it. And I'm sitting there. And then when I replayed it, and you know, and I'm hearing the music again, hearing myself again, why am I dancing with myself?
I don't know what I was on when I wrote Touch My Body. I just knew that it couldn't be that vulgar where it couldn't get played on the radio.
Yeah,
I'm okay with people writing songs about, you know, anything like sexual or anything, but I'm like, please make it tasteful. Mm-hmm. Don't make it to where you have to be descriptive of the body parts and stuff like that. You ain't gotta do all that. Like,
we know what the body parts are,
right?
You better Google it.
You know, and so that's the one thing that I love that. Like, I grew up with a conservative mom.
Ooh.
That.
Huh? Ooh.
Listen, on stage it's different. On stage it's different.
Okay.
When we backstage, she over here doing this. I'm like, girl, put that out. And so I'm just saying, like, she was like even that was a little bit too much. She's like, oh my God, do you want to sell that? I was like, nah, that's all me. I'm finna handle that song. I said, in fact, that's gonna be the first song on my album. So
I like it. I want to be disturbed because you like one of my babies, but you're also my friend, and I just like it. I was like, I like this song. But we're gonna put which song do you want Rockstar Status?
Yeah, Rockstar
I'm
Status.
I'm gonna put that at the end. So y'all get a clip of that, and you can check out more about Sheridan on social media, find Sheridan Monroe. And on my website, www.abiggirlsguide.com. And I'm going to put all the links to find Sheridan so you can find him everywhere.
Yes,
thank you so much, Sheridan.
No problem. We're
going to talk again.
Yes, we're going to do this again. We're going to definitely do this again.
All right. Tell Cyrus he can have you now.
Right. He's over here like, let's go outside.
This episode previously included music from Sheridan Monroe's album Unapologetically Me. The song was Rockstar Status, and you can find the entire album and Rockstar Status wherever you find music, whether that be Spotify, Apple Music, Instagram, YouTube, he's everywhere. Please go back and listen to the whole episode if you haven't yet. And then go to Spotify and find A Big Girl's Guide, the podcast, the playlist, and listen to more music from Sheridan Monroe. Thanks for listening.